Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Acts. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will read a portion of Psalm 31 responsively. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ear to me. Haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me.
Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me. You are my tower of strength.
Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Let my face shine upon your servant. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. The epistle reading comes from 1 Peter. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you then who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Today, the church joins Jesus and his disciples during that last time of instruction, before his betrayal, before his trial, and before his crucifixion. In John's gospel, this episode begins with Jesus tying a towel around his waist and washing the feet of his disciples. He speaks of love in service. He instructs them in all manner of things. Now, next week, the church will hear a continuation of this. And in the midst of that, the church will hear promises from him that while he will leave, he will also send an advocate, the Spirit, to walk with them. And where will they walk? That's a huge question for those first disciples and for the church today. When Jesus tells his disciples, "Do not trouble your hearts," he makes a big promise. He journeys ahead of his disciples. He prepares a way. More so, he prepares a place. And even better, the place that he prepares, the Father's place, has room for everyone. So much room. Of course, Thomas has a question. As much as the church loves to give Thomas a hard time, that whole doubting Thomas thing, he asks the clarifying question, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" How often does the church ask this very question? "Lord, we don't know where you are leading. How can we know the way?" Several years back, Jack Hout presented his work on Teilhard de Chardin. In that process, Hout identified different ways that theologians of all kinds tend to orient. Hout named at least two orientations. One theological orientation understands the fullness of God's creative and saving work in the Garden of Eden. God's intended perfection exists in that place. When one's theology orients in that direction, the course seeks to return to that place. The focus moves toward the return to the beginning. It involves going back. Some call it a repristination of creation. Looking around, people all around abound with this kind of an orientation of, can't we just go back? The draw of going back to the way it was is powerful. Another theological orientation recognizes the fullness of God's intended creative completion to exist in the future that God continues to create. Often in the New Testament, the word translated as perfection or being perfect really has to do with that ultimate end, that goal. From this orientation, the focus looks ahead to an unfolding reality that reveals new possibility. Orienting this direction opens to unknown possibilities. It frightens many. What if we get it wrong? In this encounter with Jesus, with disciples, Jesus points forward to the unknown. He will go ahead. He will prepare a place. He offers opportunity. What was true then continues to be true today. Disciples must decide which direction they will orient. Do they yearn to go back? Do they hang on to what was? Certainly 20 years ago or 100 years ago, even 1,000 years ago, can hold appeal. Heritage also holds familiarity. Jesus does not orient toward repristinating what has been. Certainly, he honors the core threads of that heritage. He attends to the fundamental ground of the law. Love God, love your neighbor, love one another as I have loved you. Love has a sacrificial element to it. Jesus also attends to the prophets. Care for the least of these. Attend to the needs of the poor. Pay attention to the most vulnerable. Avoid growing wealthy by false means, by false scales. Seek justice. Many congregations look back on the past 70 years. Congregations have identified those decades as the norm. And yet those decades represent a blip, an oddity, a period of profound growth. Bishop Mike Gerlinghaus of the Arkansas-Oklahoma Synod suggested recently that the current membership of the ELCA today is roughly what the membership of all the predecessor church bodies that formed the ELCA were in 1940. Meteoric growth born of the baby boom climaxed and has declined for decades. Will congregations yearn for and seek to repristinate themselves into their history? Thomas asks, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus responds, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Know Jesus. He makes big promises just before those most dizzyingly disruptive days ahead for the disciples. The disciples are positively freaked out by what they hear and what they see in those days. They deny him. They fail to follow him. They struggle to see what presents itself ahead of them. The way forward, though, offers whole new ways of seeing, of living, of loving God and loving one another. When we know Jesus, we know the way. When we trust Jesus, we are not alone. Together, all the faithful move forward into the fullness of God's ultimate hope and goal for all creation. Let us all together follow this way.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.